Psalm 78, 1 through 12. Let's stand together as we read. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as the fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, and in the field of Zoan. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time when we reflect upon those that gave their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy. We do thank you, Lord, for also the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for all mankind. We thank you, Lord, today for your goodness to us. Lord, we're undeserving of every good thing that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, today for that. Lord, now we ask your blessing upon our service. Be with Pastor as he brings a message to us today. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct. And Lord, may we be obedient to your word. We thank you now again for this time again, and we ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated.
Jesus Christ, my Savior, prepared for every sin. you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to the book of Psalms, the 78th chapter, Psalms chapter 78. Living sacrifice, crucified to thee. Psalm 78 there in your Bibles, please. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 once again. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, notice, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. In verse number 7, we see that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Not forget the works of God. In verse 12, we see that the children of Ephraim turned back in the day of battle because they, verse 11, forgot his works. Remembering is a very important thing. And this morning I want to just touch on the subject, lest I forget. Lest I forget. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here. I thank you for each person here this morning. Each one invaluable to you. Loved so much that you sent your son to die for each and every one here. Our value is determined by the price that you were willing to pay for us, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that each person valuable in your eyes would glean something from your word that will help each one today. If there's someone here that's not truly saved, may that matter get settled today. And Lord, I pray that every saved person would be enriched in their own heart to become more beneficial in the day of battle for you. Bless this time, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The psalm here talks about God's people remembering what he had established for them, what he had done for them, and then rehearsing those things to their children, having them in their own hearts, so that then when their children were born, they would rehearse them to their children, and the truth of God's word and the principles of God's word would be passed on from one generation to another. You've heard me talk about how that I believe my ministry, how I see myself in this little thing called time. I see myself as someone running in a relay race, and I have taken the baton from the previous generation, and I'll use my dad as an example, but I watched him run, And then I, as he came beside me and I was beside him temporarily, I took that baton that he had and have sought to run the race that God has given us. And I'm in the process now of running alongside many people that need to take that same baton and run on through their generation with it. My fathers learned the truths that God shared, remembered them, rehearsed them. I've come to know them and remembered them and have rehearsed them so that those born would come to know them, remember them, and rehearse them. Each generation is not its own to do with that lifetime what they choose to do. Each generation has a responsibility to take the truth of God, remember it, rehearse it, and pass it on to the next generation. You hear talk about first, second, and third generation, and third generation oftentimes turning from the truth. And here's the reason why. Every generation needs to become the first generation. Every generation needs to grab onto the truth, remember it, and be determined to rehearse it to the next, so that that generation can become a first generation that grabs the truth and runs the race with it. I don't see myself as a parrot of what my dad was or said. I see myself as someone who's come to believe the truth that he believed, but they're mine. And I'm carrying to this generation the truth of God's word. Notice in verse number 2, I will open thy mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children. We'll come back to this passage in a minute. But it brings out the idea of not forgetting. Not forgetting what God had said, not forgetting what God had done. We as Americans remember the cost of freedom. We stop and we remember the cost of freedom. That's not a principle that we established. It's been of old that God has told his people to remember. God told his people to remember when they came out of Egypt and they instituted the Passover at his command. When they crossed the River Jordan, they were to take stones out of the riverbed and set them up as a memorial to remember. Remembering the cost of freedom momentarily, what an important challenge it is for all of us to pause, to remember the fallen. Our freedom cost the lives of thousands upon thousands. After the Civil War, people began decorating the graves of those who had died in that conflict. Initially called Decoration Day, then it became called Memorial Day and declared to be a day to honor and remember those who have given their lives for the securing and protection of our great country. The sacrifice of those who gave their lives should never be absent from our minds and our hearts. Their lives were offered for the protection of our peace. Their bodies were captured in death to maintain our freedoms in life. Let's pause for a few minutes again and reflect on those who gave their lives in war for our country. And I'm just going to recap a few of the ones I already read. The Revolutionary soldier fought with few supplies, poor weaponry, often through hunger, severe elements, and poor medical attention. Approximately 25,000 men died as a result of fighting to gain independence from the tyrannical government of Britain over our colonies. The Civil War soldiers fought against their own countrymen to maintain a country that would protect all of their liberties. About 625,000 people died in battle. World War I, the war to end all wars. Defending our allies against aggression cost 116,516 American lives. World War II, defending our own nation and its European allies against Nazism and Japanese imperialism, saving the rest of the world from cruel and almost unmentionable genocide, cost America 405,000 lives. But Europeans were spared from the cruel insanity of Adolf Hitler, and we Americans still speak English and experience the freedom of a republican democracy. The Korean War, Charlie served in the Korean War. The Korean War cost over 36,000 lives of American servicemen defending the Korean Peninsula from communist control. And the North Koreans still would like to take South Korea. The Vietnam War resulted in over 58,000 deaths of U.S. servicemen. Once again, fighting against communist aggression. Don't believe the lie that communism and socialism are okay. Their goal is control of everything you have and what you believe. Period. Their goal is not to give you what you want, it's to control what you have. Soldiers came home from the Vietnam War to despicable shame and contempt of people deceived by communistic and progressive ideology, often spat at as they walked through the airports. The Afghanistan War, defending our nation against the tyranny of terrorism, has claimed almost 2,500 American lives, and this fight continues today. The Iraq War has been won twice, and feckless political leadership has squandered the cost paid of approximately 4,800 American service personnel, including all the military conflicts which Americans have fought. We've lost about 1.3 million people. With another 38,000 missing from all the conflicts, neither confirmed to be dead or alive. All these servicemen and women from the Revolutionary War to the continued Iraq and Afghanistan wars who have died for our country died for the principles for which our nation stands, taking the principles that have been presented, holding on to them, and living for them and dying for them. Every number represents a person. Every person had several other people who were directly impacted by their death. Parents, grandparents, spouses, children, relatives, friends, and acquaintances. Think of the grief summed up by 1.3 million people who gave their lives for us. Every person that died may have contributed in many positive ways to our society through their knowledge and actions had they lived on. But they died living for what they loved and what they believed. As we heard former President Reagan talk about the one soldier in World War I. On Memorial Day, we should stop and remember the cost of freedom. But then I want to consider the effects of remembering. We're supposed to stop and remember, but it does have effects upon us. The effects of remembering. You know, we only really remember what we repeat. Do you know that? We repeat it in our minds, repeat it over and over, then we remember. We only remember what we repeat. So I want to help my memory with something. I sat at a table at reception last night, and a gentleman told me the story. He said that this preacher was preaching, and one Sunday he only preached for 5 minutes and was done. Isn't that wonderful? And the next Sunday, he preached for 10 minutes and was done. The next Sunday, he stood up and he preached for an hour and a half. Right? And so someone went up to him and said, Pastor, 2 weeks ago you preached for just 5 minutes, and then you preached for 10 minutes the next week, and then today for an hour and a half. What's going on? He says, well, I just got new false teeth. The first Sunday I was really sore, I could only preach for 5 minutes. The second Sunday I was still sore, could only preach for 10 minutes. He says, and then this past Sunday I had an accident. I picked up my wife's false teeth instead. And preached for an hour and a half. Anyway, so I had to tell that so I'd remember it, okay? But we only will remember the things that we rehearse. Well, I was preparing for Cindy and Andy's wedding. Rehearsal, and I gave a cheat sheet to the young ushers that were helping. And one young fellow said, I'm in a marching band, and they tell us what to do, and I just remember it. And he handed the cheat sheet back to me. 10 minutes later, he said, can I see that again? Well, he hadn't rehearsed it enough to remember it yet. And I laughed, and we only remember what we repeat. The Word of God mentions several times that we're to remember or we're not to forget. We're to repeat that which has been stamped upon our lives, be it truth, be it experience, be it provision of God, as it relates to us on Memorial Day, the cost, the price that others paid for our freedom, we remember by rehearsing it. Bringing it up again. As Americans, we should take time to remember those who died that we might live. There are several effects that it has upon us. Let me mention them. First of all, remembering renews the pain. Be prepared when you do stop to remember. It renews the pain, particularly when you think about lives gone. And Memorial Day has become more than just remembering those who lost their lives for our freedom, but we stop and remember our loved ones that have gone on. And remembering renews the pain. It's a rather painful reality for one having fought in battle to accept the thought, why them and not me? I've heard that several times. The providence of God that allows one to live and one to die cannot be fully understood right now. I watched a short video earlier this week of a man who was 90 some years of age, almost 100, rehearsing one of the battles in World War II that he was in, and people dying on his left and his right, but he lived. The only explanation is divine providence. The providence of God that allows one to live and one to die cannot be fully understood right now, but there's a responsibility of us who are living to remember them, to honor them. Remembering does often open up the pain of their loss. Maybe it was a friend, a fellow comrade at arms, a husband or wife, a son or a daughter, a mom or a dad, a brother, Amy. Or a sister. Stopping to consciously reflect and remember them does bring back the pain of their loss. Those of us who have lost loved ones that we were close to know the pain that we experience when we stop and actively remember. I took a couple of minutes and looked at a picture of me with my mom and dad, and my mom stretched out with her arms to my dad as I was taking them through their vows for their 65th wedding anniversary. I had one set of vows that was crazy. You know, I promised to pick up my clothes and all that good stuff. And one that was the real deal. And when I was done, it shows a picture of my mom reaching out to my dad. My dad standing there looking at her like, what do you want, Jean? But it's hard to look at their pictures. It hurts. Remembering actually causes to have a little bit of pain. Many people refuse to reflect because they don't want to experience the pain again. But they need to be remembered. We're alive. We've benefited from their lives, even benefited from their deaths. So we cannot be so self-protective that we fail to remember those who paid the ultimate price. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Secondly, remembering deepens the appreciation. It deepens the appreciation. Our understanding of their cost, the cost they paid, is deepened every time we take time to remember. We see the value. The older we get, we see the value of a total life experience. And it causes us to appreciate what they missed. We experience the wonderful blessing of living our dreams, but they did not. Remembering deepens the appreciation. Knowing that they had dreams and ambitions, plans, and ideas, just like us. But we have realized many of our dreams and plans and ambitions, and they did not. The value of the price they paid is greatly enhanced. Our appreciation of it when we actively remember them, not numbers, but people. People. And then remembering honors that memory. Remembering honors that memory. Their memory, the memory of what happened, the memory of how they died, why they died, where they died, when they died, their memory is held in honor by our remembrance. When I go to a memorial service on Memorial Day, which I will tomorrow, I'm not sure if I'll go to Stevensville or New Buffalo, I'm not sure yet which I'm going to go to. I'd encourage you to do that. Go to one. Take time. Somebody lost time so you could take time. Take time to do that. And when you do, you're standing there is honoring the memory of what they did. That memory needs to be held up. No memory can be elevated to honor without being actively brought into remembrance. I like to learn about different ones who died doing their duty. I feel a sense of honor for them through their memory. Almost put myself in their mind and why they were doing what they did and honor them. Memories lie silently beside the graves of the fallen until those memories are resurrected to a position of honor by our active remembrance. The Bible says to give honor unto whom honor is due. And then remembering benefits the heart. Remembering benefits the heart. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says an interesting thing, and I've shared it at several funeral services that I've done through the years. But Ecclesiastes 7, verses 2 through 4 say this, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. When we contemplate the sacrifice another has made, our hearts are made better. We value living more. We value the sacrifice of the deceased more. We value our present opportunities more. Our hearts are made better, and we apply our hearts to wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, "The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it's soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Remembering them benefits our hearts." And then, remembering renews the purpose. When we stop to remember, it renews the purpose. Why? For what did they live? For what did they die? What principles motivated their actions? When we consider the underlying principles that motivated those who sacrificed their lives, were moved to renew our own purpose in living. They lived to be dads, to be moms, to be pastors, some, to be teachers, to be scientists, to be doctors, to be farmers, to be lawyers, to be common laborers. They lived to live, but they died in just fulfilling their goals in life. Remembering them should cause us to renew the purposes for which we live. We get to be in church this morning and point others to the Lord. Renew that purpose. We get to rear our children. Renew that purpose. We get to participate in the freedom of voting. Renew that purpose. We get to pursue the direction of the Lord's leading in our lives. Renew that purpose in your life. But they don't. In Psalm 78, verses 1 through 12, the Lord two times mentions the word forget here. In verse 7, it says that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That they might set their hope in God and not forget. This gives us the purpose. The purpose of remembering is so that others will know and remember and be benefited and have a real sense of purpose in their lives because of what we've stopped to remember. If you notice in verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Read verse 7 with me. Ready? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. God help America if we forget the sacrifices of others. But greater than that, God help the next generation if we do not rehearse to them what God has done and if they do not embrace it for their own. Lest I forget. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Verse 11, the children of Ephraim go into battle, forgot His works, and went down in defeat because they forgot what God had done. God wants me to remember what He's done. God wants you to remember the things that he's revealed to you in his word. God wants you to remember to bring them to your mind. God wants me to remember what I've learned, lest I forget. God wants me to pass on to my children what I've learned, so they will remember. God wants us to remember and pass on to our children what he has done, so that, in verse 7, they might set their hope in God. Interesting. The purpose. So that they might set their hope in God. We have a lost generation today. Call them XYZ, ABC, LB, whatever. Call them whatever you want. We have a lost generation. And it's due in large part because my generation has not adopted what God has done and rehearsed it to them. And the generation following me hasn't upheld what God has done. It's not too late. God wants to use us, lest I forget and go down in defeat. Our ability to go forward in our battles hangs on remembering what God has done in the past. Have you ever noticed in your life that as you go forward as a Christian and you come to a tough time, your mind will go back to something you've heard, learned, or experienced from God, God's word, through God's help, and you'll draw from that for the new battle. I got a text this morning from Brother Greg that his levels are down below, they're between 5 and 6, 5.3 now I think it is. And I said, glory to God. And he sent me back a text. He gets all the praise. But with Brother Greg, I remember a long history of him looking to the Lord for help. And now in this battle, who's he looking to? The Lord. Our ability to go forward in our battles hangs on remembering what God has done for us in the past. Rehearse it. Call it to your attention. Rehearse it to someone else. Have you noticed that older people like to tell stories? It's because they're trying to tell you what happened in their life so that you'll remember and be benefited by it. And they may not even realize that's why. In fact, they may forget they told it to you yesterday. If I do that to you, don't tell me I forgot. I'm trying to remember. The next generation will not keep God's ways if we do not actively remember today and bring those things to the forefront. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws and forget his works. I want to remember because I want others to know. We must remember the ultimate price in view of that was paid for mankind. We have to rehearse it. Tell me the old story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. We must remember the ultimate price that was paid for mankind and tell it to our children that they might tell their children that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The songwriter wrote these words, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. We only remember what we repeat. Lest I forget, I'm going to remember it. I'll remember. Lest I forget. Let's bow for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. And Lord, we as Americans must never forget those who paid the ultimate price, not because they wanted to pay that price, but because they believed what we believe and stood for what we stand for and wanted freedom themselves. But they paid the price. Help us to honor them in our lives with our active memories. Let it have the effect upon our lives that it needs to, that it ultimately points us to the purpose we have in fulfilling your will and sharing your word with those to come. Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here this morning that's never personally received Jesus Christ, we've rehearsed before them that Jesus loved them and died for them and rose that he might save them. But they've got to pick up that baton and make it their own. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has never truly been saved, I pray you'd prick their heart. May they forget about everybody else and think only of their soul and eternity in heaven or hell. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, when we stand and sing, I pray that you'd encourage them to come to the front. Let me know that they want to be saved, and we'll share from the Word of God how they can know Christ today. Challenge our hearts. And Father, help each of us to remember not only those who have given their lives for us, but remember all that you have done for us. And remember that great price Jesus paid on Calvary. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and God knows your heart. You know in your own mind whether or not you've really received Christ as your Savior. It's nothing to play with. It's nothing to take lightly. Oftentimes in living, people forget that they will be dying. One benefit of remembering is to realize our own mortality. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? It could be today. If not, you need to make certain that your soul is saved, that you've been forgiven, having received Christ Jesus as your Savior, turning from sin, trusting Him. If you're not sure that you are saved, when we stand and sing, you ought to make a beeline down to the front, grab my hand, say, Preacher, I want to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. And then I want to challenge every Christian to be active in remembrance. Loved ones, principles, and people that have paid the price. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 491, Does Jesus Care?
God bless you. We see the hands of people that served in combat zones or during wartime at some war theater. Would you just raise your hand up high? Charlie, Brother Ron, Jason, Luke, God bless you, man. And I know that there were men that came to your mind as we preach today. God bless you and continue as you are to honor them. I was talking with Brother Rich Abitoy a couple of weeks ago about Somalia, and he knew he was there. He knew all those men, 43 that passed away at Somalia. Painful, painful thing. And take these thoughts, let them enrich your life that we might be used in their honor. Be used in their honor to pass on what they stood for. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your many blessings toward us. We thank you again, most of all, for the wonderful sacrifice of Christ on Calvary and what it provided for us. We don't forget that. Help us to actively pass it on to the generation beside us and coming behind us. And Lord, bless each one of the men here that served in different areas where other lives were lost. Just give them your peace and your blessing in their lives today, as I know their hearts are touched in memory. Bless our church. Use us for your honor and glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.